Hey, this is the Local Hour. My name is Roy. I'm joined with Billy, Tony, and this guy over here, Chris. I'm angry at you, man. I got beef with you.
I like beef. What's up? What's wrong? What did I do now?
Oh, this is a bad kind of beef. I'm still upset over the fact that your daughter was playing in Floodwater on Monday. And I gotta tell you, like, what the hell is the matter with you? What kind of father are you?
Look, okay. I'm aware, I got a lot of DMs, a lot of concerned people out there. I'm aware that you are not, when it's like floods and stuff, you got to be careful of down power lines and stuff like that. I'm aware of that in my neighborhood. I didn't see any power lines. I stepped in said water.
Any down power lines or any power lines at all? Because you may have underground power lines that you wouldn't see if there was an issue. And then,
then that's maybe probably why I don't see power lines up above, because they might be underground. Look, man. A kid's got to live, okay? I didn't let my daughter go into any puddle. She was never the first step into any puddle. Can I put it that way? I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's reckless, but I feel like a kid needs to play in puddles. Like, is that not a statement that needs to be said?
That's not a puddle, though.
Chris, the video you played was not a puddle. That was basically a canal.
Well, I know. There was a couple blocks from me, because we walked safely on a dry sidewalk just watching cars drive through water, because my daughter was enjoying that. And then we got to one little street, and the street was literally like, it was just a canal, the street. And I was just like, this is fun. Let's walk down it. Like, I know, like, all right, it was stupid, okay? But, you know, sometimes you just have to live life, you know, Roy?
Live life. Okay, I got to hammer this into your head. All right, it's not just about the power line.
What else is there?
No, there's, you know, bacteria, there's viruses.
Well, there's a virus in the world right now. All right, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it's not just
that. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little concerned too, but I felt like there were other things going on, and I wasn't going to kind of bother you with that at the time.
That's why I feel like...
No, I was going to bother you.
I only got like two or three DMs, and I feel like in hindsight had, you know, other things. Like, you know, if the life had just been more normal at that time, I feel like the DMs would have been more of a floodgate.
No pun intended.
Jesus.
So Jenny had showed it to me, and she was like, hey, does Chris Cody know that it's probably...
Oh, wow. So everyone was concerned.
Like, a positive thing. So I told her, I was like, look,
it's been
a tough time.
Maybe this is how he wants to go out, him and his
daughter. He's going out. He's soul searching.
Were you taking his daughter with him?
No, he wasn't wearing shoes.
I saw the barefoot thing, and I'm wondering, did you leave the house with no shoes, or did you take off the shoes at one point in time?
I had my flippy flops in my hand. Because at one point, my daughter had like the water shoes on and her bathing suit, so like it was only going to be her. And then I was just like, you know what? Daddy's got to test this water out first because of the whole down power line thing. If someone's going to get electrocuted, it's got to be this.
Then what would your daughter have done?
I don't know. But look, man, I'll hear you on the power line stuff. Like, that is obviously, in hindsight, not my brightest moment. But Roy, get out of here with like the bacteria.
No, it's true.
That's true.
Overflowing canal. You could have walked into a canal by accident if you took a different shoe. Yeah. Have you ever heard turn around, don't drown? That's for like sitting water. Don't drive into water.
Yeah. Side note, a few weeks ago, I was driving by a canal like in Davie, and you know, there's a lot of like farms with cows and stuff in Davie. And all of a sudden, there was a bunch of cows on the other side of the canal. And then I saw a cow in the canal. And guess what? I called Davie animal people, and I was just like, hey, like, I did my part. I was like, hey, one of your cows is in the canal. And they're like, we're not the right people to call, but I think we know who to call. Thanks. And like that was, and I was like,
at least you tried.
I was like,
thank
look
you,
at
Davey
me,
animal people.
I was like, look at me being a good human being.
Do you think they actually called the people, or they were like just hung up and was like,
I don't know.
Who did you call?
Like, I just Googled Davie animal, like, and then
animal
I got this
control.
And then I got this place that you can like bring, and it's like, they're just like this sanctuary, like, I don't know if it's a sanctuary, but it wasn't an official place, but they were like, hey, we know who to call. So we'll call. I trust this lady. I believe her name was Barbara. She sounded very trustworthy.
Did we find out what happened to the cow? Did you check in on the cow?
I have driven by that place since then, and the cow is no longer there. So who knows?
Ooh, maybe they didn't call.
But anyways, your point is taken. I'm going to take the L on this. I'm not going to like go down. Like, I shouldn't have done it. I was in it was a weird place for me.
It's fine.
Thank you.
I guess. I mean, she survived, so.
She did.
Bailey.
And look at the joy that she got to experience, Roy. You know how much fun? Every day now, she's like, Daddy, I want to go play in puddles. Like, she loved that.
That's an issue, though.
I mean, you could have taken her to a pool or a beach during the weekend, but, you know.
A safer place to be. Have you guys ever been inside of a lake, a Miami lake or canal?
I'm not a fan of lakes. for all of the reasons that Roy's worried about Chris's daughter playing in puddles.
So nobody's
bacteria, all kinds of stuff, amoebas. Yeah, there's
critters.
All kinds of
amoebas.
Things there that I'm not, you know.
Billy, I don't know, and this is a uniquely Hispanic, like Cuban family thing. Did your grandparents or parents ever tell you that if you jump into a canal, things from the bottom, like the weeds from the bottom, would grab you and take you down?
They
told me that.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think that it's because we're spoiled and we live like by the ocean. So we're like, oh, look. And, you know, the beach here is relatively nice. You could see almost to the bottom almost always, and it's clear. So it's kind of like, I'm good going into water that I can see the bottom and see exactly what's going on there.
And canals are just so murky. So the story I had.
Well, canals, you should always. I would always avoid a canal. I don't think there's a situation in which I would just jump into a canal. I mean, maybe like one of those canals if you're like, it's like in the Keys or something where like you're going out on a boat, but like I don't have a key.
But the ocean's right there.
Yeah. So you kind of.
Technically a canal.
Assume there's no critters, as you guys have put it in there, that could probably do too much damage. Like maybe a manatee will be swimming around, but I feel like manatees are, you know, safe and won't eat me.
So the reason why I brought it up is that my buddy, his brother and I went on a boat, and it was like a little, maybe like a, it's called a canoe. So it's essentially like a floating door, right, with like sides.
Like Titanic?
So it's like 10, it's like 10 or 12 feet long and like really thin. So imagine a canoe with a motor. So back by the falls, and you guys who are more up north wouldn't know where this is, but Billy would know. Like by the falls down like on US 1 and like 136, there's a there's a canal you can drop that you can drop a boat into, and then there's a huge lake somewhere out in like the Pinecrest area, like east of US 1. And we took all the back canals until we got to this huge, enormous, it's probably like 3 football fields, like big, this lake, right? And one of my boy, his brother was like, I've got this little remote control boat and we're just going to go out to the lake and then we can just like run it around or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, like, I don't care. I'll just be fishing. So me and my boy are fishing. His boy's playing with the remote control car or the remote control boat. And it like capsizes, right? The little boat.
Yeah.
Capsizes kind of in the middle of the lake. So we start going to get it, right? He's like, oh, Dan, let me go get the boat because it's going to sink, whatever. So we're going, and it's probably a good distance away, maybe like 75 yards away. So we're flying for some reason. I don't know why. We're flying down. All of a sudden, this guy tries to turn it in a way that he can pick up. You know how when you hit a golf ball, where you're in the golf cart and you can just roll by and pick up the ball. Yeah. That's what he was trying to do with the boat. So he's one hand on the wheel driving and the other hand over trying to get the boat. He tipped the entire boat in the middle of a lake that was 300 yards wide. So guys, I'm in full clothes, shoes, everything.
Are you thinking this is it?
I'm thinking, oh my God, the boat flipped. Me, my boy, and his brother are in the water in the middle of a lake. My phone, my wallet, everything. I don't know what I have, what I don't have. We literally start dragging the boat and swimming like doggy paddle. And it took us almost an hour to get to a shore of a house that was there before we could flip it over. We were there for 3 hours trying to start the motor again because there was water in the motor we couldn't start. But I drank so much lake water and I was in the water for over like an hour trying to pull a huge thing. So that was my one experience. And then we started talking about brain-eating amoebas and bacterias.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, this is not
good. You always have to worry about the brain-eating amoebas.
Exactly.
It was horrible. It was one of the scariest experiences of my life, like being in the middle of that dark water. Like it's pitch black, not outside, but the water's just super murky. Yeah. You don't know if there's gators or snakes or whatever. Not a great time.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I've always wanted that I've seen like in commercials, this is kind of related to lakes, but not really. Have you seen like those super straws that you can put in like anything of water and you just can drink it? And it's like, this is good to drink it. You know, it has a filter on it and it clears out everything. You could drink water anywhere. I've always wondered about wanting one of those, but I also don't want to get like the defective, faulty one. Not that I'm ever in a situation where I'm going to be drinking murky water or die, because I pretty much try to avoid life-threatening situations as much as possible. But I've always wanted one of those for whatever reason. Like if I had a like a doomsday bunker or something. I feel like I would have a couple of those in there, but I don't know what else I would have in a doomsday bunker. Cause I feel like on my regular trips out into the world, I take, like, you guys have seen my backpack. I have so much stuff in a regular situation that I don't know what a doomsday preparedness kit would look like for me, because my regular day preparedness kit is so extensive.
But a kit would have to have like MREs and first aid and whatnot.
I feel like a doomsday bunker should have another purpose as well, just because most likely you're not going to need a doomsday bunker. Maybe make it like a man cave / doomsday bunker. So the other parts of your life that you're not needing a doomsday bunker, it can be of service to you as opposed to just sitting there empty waiting for you to need it.
No, I think it needs to be just the doomsday bunker. And the problem is that in Florida, there's not basements, right? No. Because of the limestone or whatever.
In Florida, you're going to need like a bookshelf that you pull a book out and like the door opens and then boom, you can walk through.
Yeah, but then I feel like if I have that, then people are going to be like, what is this weird concrete thing right behind your house with no windows? And you have this random like camouflage like
there's
nets
no
on
door
it.
To it.
Yeah, what is this exactly? It's like, don't mind that. Don't look at that. And then I'll be like, I guess I need to have more camouflage. People can see this thing.
Does a bunker need to survive a nuclear blast?
That's true.
We all agree on that?
Yeah. We can agree on that. Yeah.
Right. So a doomsday bunker needs to be able to withstand a nuclear blast, which usually means it has to be underground. So right. Billy, maybe your doomsday bunker can be in a place that you buy like a piece of land somewhere that you can create a basement and that you can try to get to easily.
I saw on, I was watching this show on Netflix. It was like, I forget what it was called. It was something like Incredible Interiors or something like that. I don't know. It was like basically about like these weird houses. And one of the episodes, if I remember correctly, was about doomsday bunkers. I don't remember where it was. And it basically looks like it's like a semicircle like above the ground, and then you go into the ground, and then that's where like your main bunker chamber is. But there is that little portion above the ground. So I guess maybe a portion of a doomsday bunker can be above the ground. I think it also depends what it is that we're trying to survive, right? So like a nuclear blast, maybe it does have to be below the ground. But like then there's like the people with like the zombie apocalypse. That was another show. I'm trying to remember. It must have been like on History Channel or something where these people were trying to like rebuild this like zombie apocalypse bunker. And I got like two or three episodes in and then I was like, this is ridiculous. Like we're at the point where they're not only building a castle essentially to fight off the zombies that may come at some point in time, according to these people, but they're also doing like training exercises. And this is just too much. Like I don't. We've gone a little bit too far when you guys are running through like a boot camp, like the guy and his like 20-year-old kids, like through a zombie apocalypse boot camp. Like, I feel like we're not going to get to that point. And if we do, I'm not going to be able to fight off all the zombies. All right. I know my limitations. I know that I'm not going to be able, maybe one or two zombies I could, you know, end. And I can prevent myself from becoming a zombie if I fight off these zombies. I think that's how that works, right? But am I really going to dedicate the rest of my life to fighting zombies?
It's exhausting.
Probably not. It'll just be, exactly. It'll be exhausting. Happy Friday the 13th, by the way.
That's great. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Do you guys all have a friend or somebody in your life that you have in your mind that if like this world ever crumbles and you need like a place to go to be safe, like, you know, somebody who just is way too into guns or enjoys a gun range too much. Like, just like somebody you know that like, you know what? I'm going to that guy's house if like shit ever hits the fan. Because I have one.
So basically, do you have a friend with a lot of guns is the
right
question.
Or just somebody who like has
survival skills? Is that what you're trying to say?
Survivor skills or somebody that just is way too like nervous about this actually happening and like has started to actually like, hasn't David Sampson told us that he's so like neurotic that he actually has somewhat of like a bunker prepared?
I think he has a panic room.
That's what I mean. Like, so like, I just feel like, you know, you got to know, like David Sampson would not be too far down on my list if like bleep actually did hit the fan. Granted, if shit was hitting the fan, I don't think I'd be on his list of like,
I was going to say, I don't think David would welcome me.
Like, I'm pretty sure that text is going unanswered, but I'm going to send that text if like bleep does hit the fan. David Sampson's not that, he'd be up high on that list, I think.
Yeah.
Something that Chris said struck me because it's something that I've thought about. The secret bookcase that you open up a book and then like you have another room. I've always wanted to do that. Like, obviously, I'm in an apartment right now, but when I get a home, like, one thing that I want to do is kind of create like a secret passageway that leads to like a man cave kind of setting where maybe I've got, you know, a couple TVs, a couch, you know, something on, you know, NFL Red Zone Sundays, I can go and hang out. But there's a secret way to get into
yeah.
it. And I've always been fascinated by that. Anybody else?
Maybe it's a curtain. There's like a curtain with like a string where you like pull down on this thing. And all curtain, of a sudden, curtain
Batman TV. Trying to get in the bat cave over here.
But how many people are going to know about your secret entrance? Because, I mean, yeah. you have a house, right? So I'm assuming at some point, you know, you're married. So your wife will probably know about this.
Yeah, my wife will know, yeah.
You know, if you're going to get, you're buying a house, you have to do a 4-point inspection. They're going to have to see exactly what's going on in this house. And,
yeah.
you know, they're going around and it's like, well, it's listed here as,
yeah.
you know, a 4-2,
but is that we a bedroom?
Only see 3-2. What's going on here? The value of this house is a lot less. You're like, no, wait. Let me pull down the book, and then you go in, and then you know the person who goes and does the investigation will then tell his friends, like, oh my god, I went to this house. This is the coolest thing. Yeah. It has this, and then everyone's gonna know. Hey, yeah, there's true. This house with a secret passageway.
It's not very practical for like the family of four who has like their infant in that room. So every time they go into their infant room, they need to, like, pull a book lever down.
That's another thing, because then okay, let's say this situation is your house. I think you'd have to have at least 5 bedrooms, right? Because mm-hmm. if you have 3 bedrooms. You have your bedroom that you have with your wife, and then that leaves you space for 2 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 3 kids in the situation, is one of your kids going to have to do a bunk bed situation, and they're going to share a room so that you can still have your secret room with the bookshelf that you need to get into?
Yeah. You can't give up secret room.
Okay, that's
fine. Give up secret room.
No, that's okay. I was thinking you'd want each kid to have their own space, but if you want to have that room, then that's fine.
I think there's a good part of community with kids, especially if they're growing up around the same age. Throw them in a bunk bed. Just don't jump off the top. Don't hit to the ceiling fan. You'll be good.
As long as daddy keeps a secret lair.
Exactly. So I'm either thinking of a bookcase where I pull a book down, or you know how they have like built-in a shelving unit where you can put like a TV and then like a bookcase around it. Having something that opens up like accordion style that you can kind of shimmy into and then close it behind you. But it has an opening on the other side, obviously.
Yeah. What stinks about doing this in Florida, like Billy pointed out before, is that they're always going to be like on even like level playing field. So like, because I feel like an important thing with these type of rooms is you need a spiraling staircase.
Ooh, that'd be really cool.
Like that's the optimal situation for having like a secret
room.
Well, how
about this?
You pull a book down and then this thing opens and that leads to a downward spiraling staircase.
How about this? How about you pull the book, but it leads to an up spiraling staircase.
Ooh, I can
and then
do up.
The man cave is on the second floor of the house.
Okay.
How about this? You push a button, you pull a lever, you pull a book, whatever it is, and then all of a sudden, it's on the second floor of a house, all of a sudden a little door slides open on the floor and you slide into it.
Ooh,
man. There's so many options.
That's really cool.
Roy, yeah, what would your secret lair look like?
Mm-hmm.
How would we get in?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking around the house right now. I can't really find it.
See, Roy, like that wall behind you, like if that one of those things could be like an app, like
yeah.
like a keypad.
Yeah, you could push it in.
Or push
it
in.
One of those rocks, yeah.
Yeah, like one of the rocks could also be something you open up and there's like a handprint.
Mm-hmm.
Or ooh, like maybe a face, like a Face ID
an
Apple
eyeball
thing.
Scanner.
Yeah, an eye scanner. Eye scanner's key.
Is there room behind there? What you
have
do
you touched all those rocks, Roy? Maybe you do have a secret lair and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Maybe I do.
You could close off that little sunroom behind you and make that the room, and then there your entranceway could be right there, like right behind you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That makes
sense. But it's not much of a secret if you're outside the house. I
mean, that's the thing. You can't have any windows in this secret room where people can look in and be like, hey, what's that room there?
He's like,
oh, that's my secret lair. Don't pay attention to that. There's a secret way into that.
You need to either pull this book down or just go through the window.
Yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose. How about this? How about a piano key that you play a certain note and then all of a sudden the door opens?
Mm.
You need a piano, though.
Then you need some musical chops. I mean, I guess if it's just one key, maybe you have to play a few notes.
Or like knight's armor and you just pull the sword down.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Which one of us will have this first? Yeah.
Probably none of us, I would say.
No, I don't think we can afford that. No.
I think Billy and I are in the lead at the moment because Chris and Roy already have a house that doesn't have it. So Billy and I could, you know, theoretically do it.
Yeah. I gotta be honest with you. Just regular houses seem very expensive.
Yeah,
so
they do. I mean, I mean, just ask me.
Yeah, the secret lair seems like an add-on where
you don't do it. Yeah. That's like an extra $50,000 probably.
Ooh.
Tua and Justin Herbert, huh?
Oh my god, dude.
Oh, matchup.
Yes. I'm really excited about it. I don't want to like read too much into it, but I'm going to. I know I said on yesterday's show that don't read too much into it, but that's me just like.
You did your reading.
Overcompensating, and I'm like terrified. And if Herbert wins, I'm going to like hate the Dolphins secretly. I'm not going to say it out loud.
The Dolphins. So Monday,
I'm just saying I'm going to hate the Dolphins if Herbert it plays great and wins. Oh. Like, I'm going to be secretly mad that they took two over Herbert. But honestly, I think. If we look at these two quarterbacks, let's do a minute of serious sports analysis. If we look at these two quarterbacks, I think the highest, if we were doing Madden ratings, the highest Madden rating of any of these two guys, Herbert has the arm strength. That's his highest rating. And Tua has the accuracy. That would be his highest rating. So I'll take accuracy over a huge arm because I think Tua can make all the throws just because his arm doesn't stand out as much as Herbert's.
That he's smaller too, right? Like when you see him physically on a football field, he's got to circumvent his shortcomings, which is, you know, pun intended, he's 6 feet tall.
He's Drew Brees.
Right?
He's literally like looking up like kind of the way Drew Brees.
Right. He's got to be on his tippy toes to try and find guys over a line that's, you know, an average height of like 6'4", 6'5". So when you look at what Justin Herbert's able to do, and let's not even count in the weapons, like he was baked in with legit weapons with, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike, you know, Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and all these guys. Who's Tua throwing to? Devontae Parker?
I mean, Preston Williams, I think, has been sneakily decent, but to your point, it's not the same level.
Preston Williams or Mike Williams?
Right. No. Your point is made, but I think Gesicki and Preston Williams are a little underrated. I think they're better than the world knows them to be, but your point is taken.
They could be. It's just when you look at them, you're like, okay, this guy has an advantage just on weapons, and all of a sudden you look at Tua, and he's not doing it in the flashy QB way, right? He's not throwing for 400 yards
Although
and a 75-yard touchdown.
Right, but he did have a few plays last game where he's, like, scrambling, making people miss. So you see it. So you see – and then that with the accuracy. Like, I'm just not prepared to go down – because Turbert – nobody can deny how good Turbert
– he's a playmaker.
Herbert has looked so far, and it's just – I'm still holding out hope that Tua can be better.
He's a playmaker, right? Like, he has a big arm. He makes the flashy throws and makes the splash plays. Maybe Tua is just an elite game manager, right? He's not a guy that's going to go out and win you a game, but if he's surrounded by a really good defense and decent weapons, like he can have the game managed in a setting where they can go out and win. Maybe that's what his ceiling is, right? Yeah. Like a really good Alex Smith.
Right.
Would you be upset with that?
Yes.
Yeah?
I mean, or really like Alex Smith. Can you say somebody else? Like I know Alex Smith is
Who's a game manager to you? Is Ryan Tannehill a game manager?
Man, you're putting me in a tough spot. If you're like, what if he turns into Ryan Tannehill, will you be happy? I'm in a position now where I almost would say yes, but that like goes against everything that Dolphin fans have been saying. Right,
cause
no, I think you have to hope.
Still be there.
You have to hope 3 years from now that Tua is better than Tannehill. You have to hope that Tua is.
Who's the comp?
I'm thinking a left-handed Drew Brees, a guy that like 3 years from now. You're like, he's just so accurate. The offense is just like the receivers are going everywhere. Like. That's just in my mind. I'm picturing kind of like a Saints offense. Like eventually.
Well, the difference is Tua can actually scramble.
Right. A more mobile, slightly less like, you know, like a more complete quarter, a more complete Drew Brees kind of thing. More well-rounded Drew Brees. Look at that. I'm excited though. Herbert too, it should be fun. Another side note, I gambled yesterday. I hit Colts over Titans. A little sneak peek for a little a little secret here for the Levitard Show listeners. Everyone has been wanting Mina's picks over the last few weeks because, like, the whole thing about how good she is. Guys, ESPN.com expert picks. Mina releases all her picks. Granted, they're not with the spread, but if you look at spreads, you can get a feel for where Mina's at. Last night, only two of the experts picked the Colts to beat the Titans, and Mina was one of them, so I was like, I'm going with Mina. And I made a little money on that. I'm just saying, if you want Mina's picks, see, I have Mina's number. I could text her for her picks, but I don't want to be that guy.
That has to be so annoying.
So I'm just like, I'm someone who knows her that doesn't want to text her. So these people, that listeners, they have no ability to text her. So they
give
like
her number.
Oh, yeah. All right. It is 308. No.
Don't do that.
No, I didn't look. I just said three numbers right there. I don't know.
Okay, because I remember the time that we were doing out your phone number. Yeah,
and no, I didn't give it out. Only like one person guessed.
You gave out everything but two numbers, and then you got everything but two numbers, and then you started getting flooded with calls of people who were just trying all the numbers.
I think it was
at least three or four people called you. I'm like, Chris, and instead of saying no, you're like, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's true.
They're gonna put this online.
I don't think I remember answering, but whatever. Okay. Yeah, so anyways, that's your tip. If you want Mina's picks and you can't text her, check the ESPN expert picks because they're always there, and she's having it shows their record, and she's like having a great record, obviously. So a little sneak peek for the audience.
So you're gonna go back to that on Sunday and check some others.
I mean, yeah, I'm gonna like look at spreads, and if I see like it's tough to see, you know, by she's just picking winners. So it's, you're not going to get what she feels about all the spreads, but you can kind of get a feel where she's at. But yeah. Another quick note. Do we have time? Do we have to get out of here?
We got time.
We have time, man.
In football, I had a couple of random thoughts watching last night's football game. How come the kickers before they kick off squeeze the ball?
Got to squeeze it.
And like end over end.
Like,
right?
Like you always see them. Like that. They're like it just looks cool at this point. Like what's the actual benefit of it? Is it kind of like a basketball player? Like is that he's just making sure that it's like, is that a test? Is he doing something to the ball, or is he testing to see if the ball is up to standard? We're not kickers here, so we don't really
7-8-6-4-5-6-4-8-3-7 Exactly. If you're a kicker, you get called.
Tony, I mean, you tried out for FIU without a football, so you might know.
I did, so it would probably not be in my best interest to talk about the football that I didn't have, but I did play high school, and I know that the kicking balls are different than the throwing footballs, right? Like the kicking footballs have more air in them.
Okay.
So that's why when they try and like push the end over end.
So they're braiding it? Are they trying to decrease the
No. They're trying to make sure that they have enough because if it's a football that doesn't have enough, you're going to see like, you know, a flailing duck kick. So those kicks actually have, those balls actually have more air.
Another thought. This was just more of a funny thing that I like when it happens. It's one of those things that you see it in most football games, and when it happens, it's like, yeah, that's funny. When a player catches a ball, like a receiver catches a ball and he ends up out of bounds, and then like the guy on like the judge, the official on the sideline is like figuring out exactly where he went out. So he's waving his arms to stop the clock and running to the spot. But he's so focused on getting the exact spot that sometimes the player running back onto the field thinks that he's the ref to throw the ball to. So he tosses him the ball. But since he's so focused on like what his task is to find out exactly where he went out of bounds, he won't react to the ball. So he just lets the ball hit him in the face. Because he's like, I can't catch the ball right now. I'm not the person that's supposed to catch the ball. It happens a lot if you watch football a lot. Like,
what was the thought?
No, the thought is that's funny when that happens.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys ever notice that? Like, yeah, that's, you know, it's a thing.
How about you think that there's eight other referees that the player can throw the ball to?
Right, and you'd think a wide receiver in the NFL would know which person is the ball guy. It's just funny because they just out of habit, they see an official, they toss it to him, and the official's like, nope, can't catch it. I'm judging where you stepped out of bounds. It hit me right in the face.
What about the guy that's waiting for the ball to be caught, right? And somebody catches the ball, toe taps out of bounds.
Yes.
The guy's waiting to throw the ball, and then he throws it to somebody else.
Yes.
And the other guy's like,
yeah.
Oh man,
classic officials.
Ah, fish. Zebras, huh?
Yeah. This guy knows. By the way, before we go, Hefe put this on my radar. We have a fan who's having open heart surgery today named Kyle. So best wishes.
Yeah, dude.
Good luck, Kyle.
Yeah good luck, Kyle. Hope you and your family get through this and, you know, speedy recovery. And hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Yes, sir.
What a down note to end on, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good thought, though.
Yeah, no, Kyle. Yeah. You got this, Kyle.
Also, quick shout-out to Levitard Reddit.
Okay.
Why?
He was nice to me recently.
Oh, okay.
Mark?
Yes.
Somebody give Chris Cody BSPN his handle back. How about that?
Yeah, do that. Yeah. Yeah.
If you know who has the Chris Cody BSPN Twitter handle, please alert one of the four of us. Mostly Chris, so he can get back the rightful heir to his.
But like,
Twitter
is
name.
This guy knowing that I now want it going to like embolden him to like not give it to me
to leverage Absolutely. You for money, possibly, yes. Right. Or at least for some sort of access to you in some sort of contract where he has your number and he can text you whenever he wants.
Yes, Sweet.
I would leverage that.
Trade me his number for it.
Ooh, yeah.